Making a Lama Tsongkhapa iconography is very, very powerful. Everything about Lama Tsongkhapa's body, okay, you can call him Lama Tsongkhapa, you can call him Tsongkhapa, or you can call him Jerichi. Lama means one without fault, one who has no fault, no anything evil or negative in them. So therefore you call him Lama Tsongkhapa. Tsong is onion. So the part that Lama Tsongkhapa was born in Amdo was a place filled with a lot of onions. They grew a lot of onions. So they called him the man from the land of the onions. And he's a Buddhist monk. He is very gentle. He is very, very soft. And an emanation of Manjushri. And during his life, he did 12 great deeds, just like the Buddha. But out of all the deeds that he has done, one of the most that stood out is his incredible Dharma teachings and the voluminous works that he has made. He has written so much in the corpus of Dharma and Buddhism. He is the greatest scholar from then till now. Because you have many masters in Tibet, but many of them didn't write. Many of them wrote short sadhanas of prayers, but actually philosophical works on debate and thinking and changing the mind and transformation, on tantra, on sutra. Lama Tsongkhapa was unexcelled for writing. And his writings today are even used by all the monasteries. The tantric monasteries is used by monks, lay people. Even his sadhanas and prayers are still being used. His meditations for different deities and practices are still being used. Even some of the tunes that he developed for chanting to the Buddhas are still being used. And on top of that, his clothes, the way a monk should dress, is adopted by all four sects of Buddhism. Because before Lama Tsongkhapa, monks didn't have a set way of dressing. Even his hat, everything was developed by Lama Tsongkhapa. So he's not a normal person. He's definitely a fully enlightened being. Therefore, Lama Tsongkhapa is very important because you have to be very careful when you draw his iconography. He always sits in meditation posture. What does the meditation posture represent? It represents that he has become enlightened. But he has become enlightened by study, understanding, doing retreat, and meditation. So he became a Buddha by meditation. So to symbolize the importance of meditation for him during his life, and us if we want to achieve higher goals, is meditation. So it doesn't really mean that we need to sit like this during meditation. What it means is that when we see Lama Tsongkhapa's body, it reminds us that we must do practice. We must do meditation. That is a total reminder when you look at him. When you see his legs crossed like that, you must meditate, you must do your sadhanas. You must practice. You must put effort into your spiritual development. You must. And then you can reach the enlightened state. That is what is represented by his legs crossing. Then, his hands is in the Dhamma Chakra Mudra. Dhamma Chakra, D-H-A-R-M-A. Dhamma Chakra is C-A-K-R-A. That's the international spelling of chakra. Some people put a C-H, but that's not accepted. It's more C-A-K-R-A, Dharma Chakra. Dharma Chakra literally means the wheel of Dharma, or turning the wheel of Dharma. Why? If you look at Lama Tsongkhapa's hand, this hand is in front of the heart, expounding the Dharma. Right? The fingers are not together. When you draw, when you make statues, it's soft, teaching the Dharma. And it's where? Not touching the heart, but in front of the heart. Alright, very important. Not touching the heart, but right in front. And this point where we actually touch the fingernail and the thumb, is in front of the heart. So you can make your statues or your tankas like so. and very delicately, very beautifully. Then his other hand beautifully drapes right in front. This hand, not like that. That is impossible for human body. It's slanted down like this. But in artwork, they make it up a little bit because it's more beautiful. Alright, so in artwork and statues, you wouldn't make it like that. You would make it like that. So, what is it? This is the Dharma, this is the mudra. Mudra, M-U-D-R-A, means hand gesture. Mudra, okay? This mudra in front of Lama Tsongkhapa represents what? His greatest activity on this earth. Just like Lord Buddha was teaching Dharma. He taught and taught and taught by speech and also by writing books. And Lama Tsongkhapa himself had many scribes. It was impossible for him to write anything. He had efficient, quick, fast, hard-working scribes who actually wrote down everything he said and went back to him and said, is that accurate? So that's how his books appear. So it's very, very important for lamas to have writers and to have people who can write, who will do it accurately, who will put their energy into it, and who will complete it. And then also lamas of Baba didn't run around looking for printers and sponsors. His students looked for that. His students went and talked to people, please sponsor this teaching, will be very beneficial. And they found the sponsors where they got the paper and they printed out. And they went, they didn't have Lama Tsongkhapa with the printers either. They went to the printers. They got it set, they got it done. And in Tibet, the printers were very complicated because, unlike now, it's all computer and all that. They take wood blocks. They have to take certain types of wood, straighten it out, make it very smooth, turn it around, and commission the person to carve each word. So if the text had 300 pages, that's 300 wood blocks. And if one word was wrong on a wood block, you have to change the whole thing. So do you think Lama Tsongkhapa hung out at the wood block place waiting for his text to be printed? No. People did all that. He just gave the teachings. That's why he was able to get a lot out, because he had efficient people around here, around him, who did it. Who did it. So he was able to do what he can do, teach. So his teachings are still alive today by those voluminous works. And a lot of the works written later by many great masters are based on Lama Tsongkhapa's written works and teachings. And on top of that, the greatest figures in our country, example, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, the Panchen Lama, all these great lamas, their first incarnations were all students of Lama Tsongkhapa himself. All. So His Holiness is the 14th one now. When he dies, 15. Dies, 16. Previous life, 13. Previous life, 12. The first Dalai Lama was a direct disciple of Lama Tsongkhapa himself. And like that, in Tibet, you have many, many great Dharma teachers who have many incarnations, and their incarnations are direct students of Lama Tsongkhapa himself. Direct, coming back again and again and again and again. Incredible. And then, the greatest work of a Lama is not to do rituals. The greatest work of a Lama, the best activity of a Lama, is not to perform miracles or to do death ceremonies or weddings travel or wear nice clothes or build temples. The best activity of a Lama, a Rinpoche, a teacher, is a teacher. That's the best activity, the only activity. Why? They're here specifically to teach. They're here specifically to teach, to expound, and to give you the Dhamma. Because certain teachers are quite realized. Certain teachers have many, many lifetimes of learning and experience. So when they teach, it doesn't come from one life. It comes from many, many lifetimes. Of the experience. That's why their teachings are profound and deep. Although subjects simple, they can bring it to you in such a profound way. Why? It's not something that they practice for 1 or 2 years. Anybody in this life who takes good photography, good writing, it didn't come from 1 or 2 years. It came from years of experience, of hardship and difficulties. Similarly, something simple like that takes years of hardship and difficulty. Of course, teaching a Dharma that will transform other people's mind and their life and their future and their destiny is extremely profound.